Good morning, everybody. I'm looking around our group this morning, and I'm seeing at least a smattering of beautiful Christmas red. How appropriate. And some of you probably didn't even do it on purpose. But we're doing Christmas in July today, and some of the favorite carols that we've had, and a special little service that the more I spent some time on this, the more I started liking just what we're doing here. And so just a couple things. It's, again, a little different service. We do that over the course of the summer. This is a service of Holy Communion, and we'll get to that part. Once again, I want to thank Pastor Roger Keller. He's going to be taking communion for me this morning. It's just, with a crutch in my hand, it's just too clumsy to do that. But we'll get through the service as best we can again today. I apologize. I was gone a couple days. I had to leave last week on behalf of somebody that was very close to me from my last congregation, and unfortunately he was granted eternal life last Sunday night, and they didn't have anybody to provide the funeral for him, so I ended up having to go back, and I'd come back better than I did. We had a little mishap coming out of the airport in Orlando, and so I'm kind of back to where I was, but we'll get this taken care of here soon enough. At the end of the service, you may have already seen, we have set up a fellowship time. And yeah, there's Christmas things out there, you know, Christmas cookies. I've already seen some stuff with Rice Krispie bars and things like that. So take some time to enjoy our time of fellowship here, a midsummer Christmas fellowship today on behalf of us here at the church. Now, next week, on next Sunday afternoon, is our afternoon when we go to the Dunedin Blue Jays. We've tried to go as a group to baseball games before. Most of the time since I've been here, it's been obviously down to the Rays, and our attendance just wasn't too good. This stadium is a lot closer down in Dunedin. We'll have the address for you, or you can meet here in the church parking lot at 3:45. We're not going to pre-buy tickets or anything else like that. We're just going to go to the game. These games are not expensive. Not both the ticket and the concessions, a whole lot cheaper than if you go to the Rays game. So that's next week. And then in 2 weeks, at our 11 o'clock service, we have our new member Sunday. And an individual you've been getting used to seeing, Pastor Keller and his wife, will be among those that we're going to be adding as new members here in 2 weeks. We have a couple of people we want to make sure that we remember in our prayers. The gentleman that was my former secretary's husband. His name was John Beck. And we have a lady by the name of McKenna Grody. She is she has gone through a very, very difficult type of cancer, and yesterday had a successful liver transplant. We'll give thanks to God for that, but we'll remember that in our prayers. And then late last month, this would have been now about 3 weeks ago, we've received word that Ann DeFranco, who used to be in here all the time, but like some of our people have had to do, had to move back to the north to be with family, she has been granted everlasting life. So we'll remember that family in our prayers for today. We'll begin with this special Christmas in July service in just a moment, but let's stand and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. As our opening song has invited us all to come home and worship Jesus, who was born on Christmas morning, we begin our service, Hail, Hail, the Word made flesh, by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Engrafted into the name of the Holy Trinity. There's something special about Christmas that makes us want to be home, whatever and even whenever that is. We're not content to be elsewhere. We want to be surrounded by comforting things. There's a reason for that. There's this nagging thought at the back of our minds. We know that we are not comfortable, that there's something else going on, that our homes, as wonderful as they are broken. We live in a broken world. And the problem of living in a broken world is that we're broken too. In Romans, which we have been reading the last couple of weeks, you may recall Paul outlining the struggle we all have. Let us share those words again following a moment of silent prayer. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. It's hard to enjoy the peace of Christmas when we struggle so much within ourselves, and we can't fix ourselves when we're broken. If we could, the struggle would already be over. Do you confess this reality? I confess that I am by nature sinful. I cannot please God in my thoughts, words, or actions. I cannot come home to Him. The next verse in Romans gives us an answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus left His home in heaven to come to us. He was born for us. He lived for us. He died for us. And now He lives again for us. Jesus is the one who brings us home. He is the one who takes our brokenness, who takes our sin, and makes us His. And so, as a called and ordained minister of Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, you gave your eternal word to become incarnate of the pure virgin. Grant your people grace at all times, to put away the temptations and guilt of sin, that they may always be ready for your visitation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Sin's temptations, accusations, and consequences through the centuries have made people feel like they were sitting in darkness. In a way, it's like being in a war we could not win. It makes people weary to the point where they just want to go home. About 2,700 years ago, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Hear these familiar words from the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, for a series of small vignettes today, we're going to share with you some special moments about what Christmas is all about. The first one today is entitled, Jesus Chose to Make His Home Here on This Dusty, Dirty Earth in a Little Town Named Bethlehem. As I look around the people here, I don't pretend to know the backgrounds of all of you, but I suspect that more than a few of you have come from a truly small town. Now, the word small town is relative to certain people. We have a maintenance man here at church whose name is Dennis. He comes from New York City. To him, a small town would be anything less than 500,000 people. But I grew up in what is truly a small town. When I was born, the census in 1960, my small town had 612 people. In 1970, it was 633. In 1980, it was 667, and it is all the way up now to 715 people. By the same token, Bethlehem, aside from the moment of the census, was a tiny little almost forgettable town. And it would seem as though, even on the days of the census, that it was almost forgotten. Oh, nothing like there weren't people in the town. The town was filled with those whose house and lineage was of David. And yet, although the story of the wise men isn't technically associated with Christmas since it happened several days later, you remember the story of the wise men. How they came into what they assumed was going to be the city of the Jews, the city where surely the king of the Jews would have been born. And when they came into the city and said, well, where is that one who has been born king of the Jews? Even though the entire city seemed to have been put up in an uproar about the news, there was apparently, at least as we read from Scripture, only one person who was curious enough to see what this was all about. And this was Jesus, one of Jesus' most dreaded enemies, King Herod, who would have seen him as a rival king and actually tried to have him killed. But one would assume that had there been at least mild curiosity out of the religious leaders of that day, that we would have read something about them also wanting to check out this story that a newborn king, our King of Kings, was actually born in the city. They were asked, well, where is he to be born? And yeah, they answered the question, but we don't hear from them again. Was nobody ready for Jesus to come to an earthly home? My friends, we live in the same reality today. There are more than a few people who seem not to understand that Jesus wants to be home in their lives as well. And that if they want to find the comfort and everything that home is supposed to be, they can find it in him. They can find it through him. Why? Because Jesus chose to make his home here in a tiny little town named Bethlehem. Because this is indeed the Christmas gospel, please stand. This first part of our Christmas gospel is entitled God's Hand in Jesus' Birth During the Census, from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governing Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You may be seated. If there was a lack of curiosity amongst religious leaders at that time about the birth of he who would become the Messiah, the one that had been foretold for centuries, it might have been because they would have assumed that somehow they would have been told. They would have been the first to have proclaimed to them that what was being foretold is finally being fulfilled. And maybe they felt like God was hiding something, but God didn't hide what he had done. He told shepherds that he came for them. And how appropriate it is that in the city of David, David, who grew up as a shepherd, and undoubtedly David would not have been a shepherd in the little community of Bethlehem. He would have been a shepherd out on the hillside, right where these shepherds were. Who knows? Perhaps these shepherds were shepherding sheep over the exact same land that David had done so in the time when he slayed the giant Goliath. Yes, a shepherd could be mighty, and this one was certainly going to be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And if there's a question, why would you tell shepherds? The answer comes throughout the Christmas gospel. Although their first reaction would have been probably the reaction of all of us in seeing something we had never seen before, their response from that point forward was exactly what we would hope everyone would do. With what, as we receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should be doing. And what did the shepherds do? First, they made the decision. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. They went and searched it for themselves. They did not prejudge. They did not reject. And while they wanted to believe, they wanted to make sure that what they had been told was the truth. And then when they found out it was, they made known abroad the saying that had been told them. They made it widely known. They told as many as they could. Well, guess what? When you find out that a Messiah has come for you, you might share that kind of excitement. But God has come for you. God did send his son for you. He didn't hide from you what he had done. And our response needs to be the same. As we continue to study, as we listen and worship, as we are part of Bible classes and studies of Scripture, and in every setting possible, and we learn more and more of the truth, we start telling, we make widely known what Jesus has done for us. All of that among shepherds near a small town in the city of David. Let's sing about that. Again, for the Christmas gospel, please stand. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As we look around our culture, there are those that would wish to define what being a leader, what being successful is all about. You will see these mansions with dozens and dozens and dozens of rooms. I can only imagine how many of them are never even ever stepped foot in. In which it would seem to be a place that is prepared for a king. And yet, when the true king of this world came, he chose to make his first home, essentially, a barn. A place where the animals were kept, where he was laid in a manger. He did that for us. We all would like to see everything about Christmas in that most perfect little setting. Perhaps the family photo in front of the most beautiful Christmas tree you've ever seen, or something like that. But we all know, we've met way too many people where Christmas is anything but glamorous, glorious, uniting, comforting, and certainly not feeling like it is home. This past week, I was forced to return to Illinois to lay to rest someone. Very special person in my life, somebody that you will not know, but in the course of time, there will be somebody in your life who is close to you that I will not know, and the reaction will always be the same. That when we finally do roll around to the real Christmas in a few months, it's not going to be a joyful occasion. In fact, I was genuinely shocked that the number of people who had been through tragedy since the time I had left, which now has been 5 years, that for every one of those people, the sadness, the sorrow, and the pain was very real. I witnessed two people this past week who their spouses related to me. They had never seen shed a tear in their life, who were bawling like little babies in front of me after we had finished the funeral this past Thursday. Christmas is not always a time for joyful things, at least on appearance. And yet in the midst of their sadness, there really was joy. Just like in the midst of an animal trough where animals feed him who was going to come to save us from our sins was lying there. Because what is important was not necessarily his first home, but his second home. Oh, he would have had some time as he was growing up living in Nazareth. But he reminded us in his earthly ministry that foxes have holes, the birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head, that is, until he was crucified. And his second home was a tomb. But just like the first home was not a place he was going to stay, neither would he stay in the second home. That said, when you look at the people that, especially the apostles, who had just witnessed the death of Jesus, the very idea that something joyful could come out of that seemed impossible. The same sometimes is true for us. And yet there is joy. The joy is very real because our Savior, no matter how sad our first home is, has made sure that it is our second home that's going to matter. Because regardless of how many places we live, or how quaint they are, how big they are, or how small they are, our residence is in heaven. And even though the king chose to make his first home a barn, he chose to make our second home his home in heaven. And yes, he did that for you. He who was once laid in a manger.
Our responsive reading is found in Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. St. Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." This is the word of God.
At this point in the calendar, we are about as far removed from the past Christmas as we are from the Christmas to come. And yet, it seems totally appropriate, even if it doesn't seem so weather-wise, and it looks a little strange having images that include snow, even for those people that live in the north, up on our screen today. Still, this is a day when we look at what God has done for us. We look at what God did for us then, and of course, one of the things we could not know is exactly when Jesus was born. It could have been any of the months of the year, but whatever it is, it was God fulfilling his purpose, sending exactly what we needed to deal with the problem of separation from God. God's intention was to bring us home. And with all that his Son did, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and lives and reigns on high, he succeeded. But if you look at what God has done for you then, don't think for a moment he has stopped. What do you suppose God will do for you now? It was an absolute miracle, in fact, a series of miracles upon miracles upon miracles that brought to us the one thing in the one way it had to happen for us to be made right with God. But God can still provide. And he does still provide for each and every one of us. What do you suppose God will do for us now? As you look over here, although that it is not for this service, we have yet another service where a child is being brought into the kingdom of God. And while that may have happened at a time we don't remember either, that was just as joyous a moment in heaven as what the first Christmas may have been, because the whole point of Jesus doing what he did was not for God's sake, but for yours. And as the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents, so each and every one of us, cleansed in the waters of holy baptism, can now see, even in the midst of earthly darkness, tragedy, trouble, trials, things expected and unexpected, things predictable as we go through life and that no one ever saw coming, don't ever underestimate what God can do for you now. He has a plan in this life, but his most important plan is the plan where, as he has placed life everlasting into our hearts, he will carry out that life everlasting one day. Lord Jesus, you left your home in heaven to join us here in this broken earth. You left the warmth of your Father's embrace to join us in the cold world. You fill us with awe. Lord Jesus, accept our offering of praise. Lord Jesus, we are sinful from birth, but you were born pure and holy. Born of a virgin, you chose to rest in a bed of hay. We praise you for your perfection, and we thank you for choosing to rescue us. You came to die for us to take our guilt so we can find a home in heaven. Infant King, we confess our sin and rejoice that you've taken it from us. Oh, Jesus, it is good that you have made a home for us in heaven with you. So many don't know what you've done for us. They think their homes are here. Open our mouths to share the wonder of what you did on Christmas. Open our eyes to opportunities and give us wisdom and courage to speak of your grace. Lord Jesus, we lift up before you those that occupy our thoughts today. Kenneth Grody, the family of Anne DeFranco, the family of John Beck, and also those in our own life that we now lift up before you in a moment of silence. Lord Jesus, we also remember how you have come to us this day. For in the beginning you created all things by your word, and in the fullness of time, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Jesus, take all these offerings of praise and use them to your glory. Help us look forward to home as we pray the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. We are claimed by Christ in holy baptism. Before we conclude in our service folders, we need to share what is obviously the final and lasting proclamation, the final part of the Christmas gospel. Please stand. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We close in prayer together. Almighty God, you made that holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known on earth the wonders of that light, we may also behold him in all glory in the life to come. Through your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. So receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.